Galatians chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. I'll give you just a little bit of background. We've covered so much ground. It'd be a whole sermon for me to give you everything we've gone through. But if you remember, the Galatian problem was that Paul had been there preaching the gospel and seen little churches pop up in this region of Galatia, right? And when he left, these Jewish Christians came out and said, look, Paul's just giving you half-truths. You're saved through Christ, but you also have to keep the law and to be saved. Therefore, you need to be circumcised, which is bad news if you're a Gentile man. And you have to follow all these ceremonies. And so Paul begins to write these letters saying, look, that's not the gospel. Jesus plus doing anything is not the gospel and does not save you. Jesus minus faith does not save you. It's Christ alone, faith in Jesus, that saves you, justifies us. And then he says, here are my proof text. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by faith or was it by keeping the law? It's by faith. How was Abraham saved in the beginning? Was it by faith or keeping the law? It's by faith. And then he rolls into where we are today and he says, look, and in fact, you are Abraham's seed. In other words, the promises that God originally made to Abraham in this covenant of grace, where God says, look up the stars in heaven, so shall your offspring be, meaning those that would be saved by faith through grace. You are the offspring. You're his sons. You're his daughter. Those promises are to you. Now, where we are today is Paul begins to unpack sonship. If you're a son, what does that mean? Okay, does that make sense? Catch you up a little bit where we are? So let's just read, and he makes a very similar argument in Romans 8. So I want to read both because he adds a few very important things in Romans 8. Let's just start at verse 29 in Galatians 3. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring or son or daughter or child, heirs according to all the promises of God. Heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. He's talking about the law, isn't he? Remember us talking about the guardian law, which kept someone until they were around 13 years old. Then they came out to that guardian, and that's what he's saying. You've left the law, and now you live by Christ. Okay, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Look, and we're going to just camp out here at verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now flip over with me to Romans. Backtrack a few books to Romans chapter 8. And Paul says something very, very similar there. Look, starting at verse 14. 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these letters, and thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. Lord, it tells us how to come to you. We call out, we cry out, Abba, Father, because we're sons, we're daughters by faith in Christ. Not born as sons or daughters, but adopted when we put our faith in Christ. Lord, and we praise you for that. And we praise you for that Holy Spirit that dwells in us, God. Guides us, leads us, keeps us, marks us, is yours now and forever. And we thank you so much for that. God, give us ears to hear today. I know that many of us have a lot going on, thinking through different things. God, our minds are on a lot of things. But Jesus, we need to know the glory and the greatness of God. We need our lives transformed more into image of Christ. God, please give us ears to hear. Let your Spirit work mightily in our hearts and minds. And may Jesus be exalted more in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you've needed your birth certificate to proceed with something, but you didn't have it, so you were unable to? Or have you ever been in a situation where to go any further, you had to prove your identification, and without it, you were unable to? On October 16th, the Greek police carried a raid in a gypsy camp in a town called Pharsala, and they were looking for drugs. And what they found was quite shocking. They found a little girl, you might have seen it in the news, by the name of Maria. A little blonde-headed girl with two gypsy parents who were obviously not her biological parents. But they produced a birth certificate which was forged and false. And when the police took the little girl and they took the parents in custody, the story that was given was her parents had come into the camp and said, look, we don't want her anymore, you take her. And so they've arrested the gypsy parents. The gypsy parents are sticking to their story. And the police suspect now that she was abducted from some other European country, sold, and given a forgerized birth certificate. Now, the police have taken this young girl's DNA samples and are frantically searching all over Europe for any information about a missing 4 or 5 year old blonde little girl. But without a birth certificate, without identification, it's next to impossible to identify who this little girl is. Now, in Galatians 4, Paul says that when we become children of God through faith in Christ, we also receive a sign, a certificate, you might say, of adoption. And that is the Spirit of Christ, who has many different works in our lives, but one of them is to function like your birth certificate, that is, assuring you of your adoption, assuring you, yes, that you are saved and you are in Christ. Now, like we said last week, in human adoption, we can only impart so much of us to a child, right? We take a child in our family and we can deeply love them with all of our hearts. We can give them our last name and we can give them all the privileges of being in our family. But what God can do for you is so much more. In fact, He can give you His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, to come into our lives and dwell there. Therefore, giving you a new nature, something theologically we call regeneration or being born again, brought into His family and given assurances because of this Spirit that dwells in you. Now, okay, Rusty, why is that important? I think it's very important because the heart and mind for the Christian is a place of battle. Between light and life from the Spirit and lust and condemnation from the flesh and our enemy. And between the flesh condemning us and the Spirit telling us who we are is where we live. And so it's incredibly important that we have this inward testimony of the Spirit in us. So here's the main idea today. The Spirit is our birth certificate assuring us of adoption in God's family or as God's sons and daughters or children. Does that make sense? You ready to dive in? Two things we want to see, okay? Now, like we said last time, sonship, this idea of sonship has two parts. The first is when you're adopted as sons into God's family, the Bible says you get all the rights of a son. All the promises are yours. You have the rights now to come to the Father. You have a right to believe that you're righteous, you're justified, you're adopted, you're sanctified, you're in Christ, and all those rights. The second part is He gives you the nature of a son. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Here's point one. We are children with a new nature. You're children with a new nature. Look at verse 6 in your Bibles with me. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, we're just going to take a scalpel to this text. And notice those first words where He says, because you are sons. And remember this context, the Jewish Christian saying to be a son, to be adopted, you've got to follow these laws. He's arguing, no, you're part of the covenant through the promises given to Abraham. You're sons now because of that. Because you're part of the covenant by faith. Then He goes a little further. He says, you've received the Spirit of His Son. Now, here is the sign and seal. Here is the pledge of God's adoption of you. Here's the certificate, you might say. The Spirit of Christ Himself dwelling in each and every individual Christian. We are Christians, we are sons and daughters of God because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Colossians 1:27 says it like this. Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's Christ in us which gives us the hope, yes, I am a child of God. The hope and sign of adoption is nothing but Christ in us. Now, Jesus says it like this in John 3, which we read earlier. Truly, truly, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So what Jesus is saying, my friends, is to be born again starts with the Spirit of Christ, Christ Himself dwelling in you, giving us new heart, new desires, new identity. So we are joined to Him by Christ, and Christ comes into us. It's unbelievable, the claims of Christianity by faith. Now, let's stop. You might be thinking like I was. Okay, wait a sec. I'm a little bit confused. Why does it say here the Spirit of Christ? In so many other places it says the Holy Spirit. Is it the Spirit of Christ in me, or is it the Holy Spirit? Right? It's a good question you're thinking. You're on it. Well, let me see if I can explain that. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one, right? Same in glory, in power, in nature, but different in person and different in role. So the Father declares everything that's going to happen from beginning to end. He is the King sitting on the throne pronouncing everything that'll happen. The Son goes and He accomplishes it. There's a reason that Jesus was the one that came and died on the cross. He's the one who always accomplishes the Father's will. And it's the Holy Spirit then who applies it, who takes what Christ has done and applies it to our lives, you see. So the Spirit is doing nothing but giving you Christ, that is. He's giving you the work of adoption, the work of the cross. Therefore, He is the Spirit of the Son giving you Christ, giving you forgiveness, adoption, justification, sanctification, righteousness. He has given you Christ. That's His job. Take Christ and apply it to you. Because He is the Spirit of Christ. They're one in nature. He's applying to your life Christ. Therefore, Scripture often says it's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. They're one and the same. Same in nature. He takes Christ and applies it to you. Does that make sense? Now, here's the last thing we want to say. Okay, Rusty, where then? Okay, I understand what you're saying. The Spirit comes on me. Where? And notice those last words there in verse 6. In our hearts. This is where the Spirit resides in us. And what the heart means is it's your affections, it's your emotions, the fortress of who you are as a people. And there He guides and He leads our lives. So Paul says it in Galatians 5 like this, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. Verse 18. Be led in the Spirit. All the same idea. God has placed His Spirit in our hearts so He will lead us, so we can walk and be guided in Him, so our lives in every way will be influenced by Christ leading and guiding us. Does that make sense? John Owen says it's like this. Imagine a courtroom, a judicial proceeding, and you come into the courtroom and you want to make a claim. You want to make a claim maybe about a title that you have or a piece of property, something like that. And so you submit all of your evidence to the good judge there. And the judge is looking over your evidence, but at that time, the neighbor comes in, and he's a nasty sort of fella. And he comes in, and he also has evidence. And he comes, and he argues in front of the court that everything that you are saying and believing are nothing but lies and untruths, that your documents are forgeries, your evidence is nothing but your own imagination, that you have been conned, and what you think is yours is not yours at all. What titles you think you have are not your titles at all, as he mocks you. Well, you feel kind of down. You feel like, well, maybe he's right. Maybe I have been conned. Maybe I'm believing something that's not true. And in the midst of that, a helper comes into the courtroom, you see, a comforter. And this comforter testifies on your behalf to the truthfulness of your claims and to your story, and absolutely silences all accusations against your rights. Now listen, this is how Satan and our flesh work in our life. They are constantly slandering us, slandering the treatment that we receive from the Father, saying things like this: look at these trials and sufferings you've received. Look at the things that you're experiencing. Are you really in the family of God? Would God really treat you like this? Certainly God doesn't really love you. If you really did, then you wouldn't have experienced this. You're not really part of God's. The gospel's not really true. You're not really adopted, because look at your life. Here's why we need God's Spirit. You see, in such times, dwelling in our heart, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So our faith has really two parts there. The mind reasoning, thinking through, yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I believe it. And then the Holy Spirit in the heart, that is, applying it to us, giving an inward testimony to your heart. Yes, you are a child of God. You see, it's the mind and the heart, isn't it? And the Spirit dwells in the heart, testifying to you. You are born again. God does love you. The gospel is true. You are not condemned. You are righteous. Rise up. You see, in the heart for a reason. Now let's move to the second thing. The Spirit is our birth certificate, assuring us of adoption as God's sons. First, we are children with a new nature. Second is, we are children with a new cry. Now, imagine you've just started a new job. Okay? And in this job, your boss, her name is Mrs. Smith. And you go in and you see her and you say, yes, Mrs. Smith. How are you doing, Mrs. Smith? She says, fine, thank you. How's your work? Yes, Mrs. Smith, it's going well. Thank you. And you see her and there's a bit of coldness there at first. But after a year or two, you begin to work on a project with Mrs. Smith. And you get to know her. And she quite likes you. And so she invites you over to her home and you guys begin to play golf together. And one day you're out and she says, don't call me Mrs. Smith anymore. Call me Susan. Do you know why she does that? Because your relationship's changed. You see, that's why she does that. Because she wants you to know there's a new closeness in your relationship. Now look at verse 6 with me in your Bibles. Look how the Father says, look how God Almighty says, address him in Christ. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Notice those first two words, cry out. It means a loud and earnest cry. It is the cry of assurance where certainty in relationship and position exists. One feels free to cry out for help. It's Romans 8:15. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of sons as adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let me tell you what I mean. If you ever come to Mainly Music on Thursday morning, you will see something awesome. as new parents come in and little children are scoping out the room and figuring out what's going on here. And then they see me, nasty, pastor, mean, red hair, ugly, big nose. And you see them look, and then they look for mama. Ah, and they cry out for mama. Mama! Now, that's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. The Spirit of Christ makes us fearless in certain times so that when we have difficulties, there is no longer fear in us going, have I done enough to please God? Have I done enough to come to Him today? Have I appeased His wrath today? Because we're adopted as sons. And so he says, when we get in that fearful situation, we cry out. That's what we do. A little child never says, does mommy love me today? Is mommy, have I done enough to please mommy today? No, she knows they're adopted and she cries out. And that's exactly what God's telling us here. Now notice what he says. Cry out what? Abba, Father. In other words, cry out Dada. Dada, Father. Papa, Father. Now, why does Paul tell us twice, Romans 8 and here, Abba, Father? Why doesn't he just say God? Why doesn't he just say Father? Because that's how Jesus addressed God. Let me read to you Mark 14:36. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's about to die, he's about to go to the cross, and he needs his Abba. Notice what he says. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. You see, Abba was the common word for dada, and it implied intimacy. And so when Christ was in his most fearful season, he cried out, Dada, Father, literally, Dad, Abba. And as adopted sons by the Spirit of Christ in you, in me, I speak to the Father just like Jesus speaks to the Father as a son, not a slave. Not with fearfulness, but with the same sense of assurance that He loves me and He cares for me as Christ did in the garden, because Christ dwells in you. And we come through the Spirit of Christ. Now let's just close with these last thoughts. I don't have a lot of application like I usually do. I just have one or two questions. How do you come to the Father? How do you come to God if you're a Christian? Do you come as a slave, feeling like to law that you've never done enough, that maybe He's not really pleased with you, so maybe I shouldn't cry out until I do more? Or do you come as a child who, regardless of what you've done, you cry out to Him because He's your Abba? Do you come as adopted with all the rights of a child, or do you come as an orphan? Do you come as one who's beloved or one who's bereaved? As accepted in Christ or somebody who feels rejected in my sin? Listen, to honor Christ and His work on the cross, to believe that Christ dwells in you, to honor God who has adopted you, is to call God your Abba, Father. I'm going to say it like this. You will not honor God. You will not proclaim the gospel in the way you live, nor do you truly believe the depths of it until you come to God as Abba, Father, regardless of your situation in life, in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, His Spirit that dwells in us. Amen. Father, we come to you right now as Abba, Father. God, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we know that that same Spirit who's adopted us is also changing us, convicting us, drawing us to repentance, making us more Christ-like. But God, I see Jesus in the garden. I see Him crying out, Abba, Father. And I'm sure the disciples heard that as well. I'm sure Paul did, Father. And that's the reason He tells us to do it. God, it's amazing that we can come to you as Abba, Father, and not just a cold, distant God who dwells out there somewhere. God, you are Abba, Father in Christ. In Christ, you love us. You showed us the depths of your love on the cross. Lord, I pray for each individual in this room that as Satan in their flesh says no, brings them into the courtroom and says no, You cannot come to God with this on your heart or on your mind or what you've done. No, you're not a child because of this. Lord, we can plead, Abba, Father, Lord, because of the Spirit and because of the truths of the gospel, which tell us we have been adopted by faith and gives us all of the assurances of all the promises of God to us. Lord, praise you. Comfort us in that, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.